Oh my, the political rhetoric in the UK is inflamed over whether Britain should leave the European Union. It's kind of a yawn to me, but hey, four new polls have those in the leave camp pulling ahead of the stay votes, and European markets have been turbulent in response to the growing mood of uncertainty. The leavers say it is a conspiracy of bankers and foreigners who want the UK to stay in the EU, while the stay camp claims horrible things will happen if the UK leaves. British Prime Minister David Cameron has warned that leaving the EU will, quote, put a bomb under Britain's economy. In conversation with Gillian Tett, U.S. managing editor of the Financial Times, Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick explored just how this vote stirs a deep cauldron of culture regarding the UK and Europe.
If the UK does leave the European Union, there will be a lot of short-term dislocation and turmoil. It's difficult to overstate just how incredibly disruptive this is going to be to the financial markets, to financial market contracts, to businesses, to companies, to trade. I mean, the costs of this are going to be not quite on a Lehman Brothers style, but similar in some ways to the 2008 financial shock.
Has there been any object lesson or any corollary effect back in Brussels because of this debate? Has anyone in Brussels gotten scared into action? Boy, we better slim down and slim this bureaucracy because the Brits are serious here.
Well, one of the frustrating things that's driving the Brexit debate is that there doesn't appear to be much connectivity between profound unhappiness in the UK. And I should stress, not just in the UK. I mean, you've had people voting and indicating their displeasure in France, in the Netherlands, in a number of other countries with the whole EU ideal. But there hasn't been yet a sign that the European Union is going to make serious concessions to the British concerns. Quite the contrary, thus far at least, the Germans and French and others appear to be so irritated by the British that they're actually towing the line more strongly.
How should Americans be looking at this? On the one hand, President Obama, he's made it clear a strong and united Europe is in American interests. He, of course, visited London to make his case. I'm not sure if Britain's really cared about that at all, the American president making his case. But what are the true costs or the true potential benefits here for the United States if this vote goes in favor of Brexit and UK leaves the EU?
Well, there are two things that Americans need to recognize first. Firstly, that most Americans don't understand what's driving European politics. You know, they didn't understand the degree to which there is a strong emotional attachment amongst elites to keeping the European Union and single currency together, which is why Greece is still there. But they also don't understand the depth of antagonism inside the UK towards the European Union, because to most of my American friends, it seems absolutely inconceivable that anyone should vote to leave. Crazy, suicidal. And second point I make is that any Americans who want to understand the UK should go and watch the Hollywood movie Love Actually, because that has a scene where an American president goes over to the UK and tries to bully his way, and it provokes this kind of quiet, very obstinate revolt amongst the British people.
We got what we came for, and our special relationship is still very special.
And Prime Minister?
I love that word, relationship. It covers all manner of sins, doesn't it? I fear that this has become a bad relationship. We may be a small country, but we're a great one too. A country of Shakespeare, Churchill, the Beatles, Sean Connery, Harry Potter. David Beckham's right foot. David Beckham's left foot comes. And a friend who bullies us is no longer a friend. And since bullies only respond to strength, from now onward, I will be prepared to be much stronger. And the president should be prepared for that.
That reflects the way that most British people feel towards the Americans, and one reason why the Obama visit was not particularly productive in some ways, because many of people who were wavering listened to that lecture about why they should stay in the European Union and instantly felt, well, damn it, I'm going to basically vote for Brexit.
Gillian Tett, put this in the context of just political populism for me. We've been talking about the economy. We've been talking about the pound sterling. But it seems like populism, I'll call it the pejorative xenophobia in some ways with some of the British populace, also plays into this debate. And can you talk about that a little bit?
Populism is absolutely on the rise. It certainly helped to drive the Scottish referendum last year. And it's also at the core of what's happening with Brexit. But what's very interesting right now is that populism is breaking differently in different generations. Last year, with the Scottish referendum, what was fascinating was that the support for Scottish independence was much stronger amongst the young than the old. And on the voting day, the young didn't get out and vote and the old did, and that influenced a vote to stay inside the UK. This time round, the problem is in reverse, because amongst the younger generation, there's much higher support of staying inside the European Union. The Brexiteers tend to mostly be from the older generation. So there's a real risk that if you can't get the youth vote out, the support for Brexit could be much stronger than people realise.
And any revolutionary tactics, strategies to get the youth vote out this time around? Because it could be the difference.
Well, right now there are people trying to get the youth vote out, whether it's by having Facebook special buttons that you can use to, you know, persuade young people to go and tell all their friends to go and vote. The government's been on a big information campaign trying to get young people out. One of the really fundamental problems, though, is that young people are used to doing everything on their cell phones. And I'm quite sure that if you were able to vote on your cell phone, you would have a pretty high participation rate from the young generation. Sadly, though, we don't have internet voting yet. And so the idea of getting young people to go and stand at a polling booth, make their vote on a Thursday afternoon or evening when there are a lot of music festivals going on and when it's summer, that's going to be quite challenging.
We wonder about the same thing in this country, about what incentives might prevent voting or internet voting. They're pretty clear.
I think that, frankly, if there was ever a case to be made for having internet voting take hold, it really is Brexit vote right now. Because if you want to get young people engaged, you're going to have to do that. Big security risks, lots of controversy around it. But actually, I think that it's time to actually seriously address the issue.
By the end of the month, the UK will have voted whether to leave or to stay in the European Union. Gillian Tett is US Managing Editor for the Financial Times. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.